Bibles, go ahead and open to the book of 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings 6 is where we'll be at tonight. Earlier on this week, I wasn't quite sure as to what to share with you guys tonight, and I started doing some reading the Word of God, and this passage stood out to me a little bit, did a little more digging, and found a lot of spiritual truth in which I believe can be a blessing to all of you tonight. And it definitely was a challenge to me as well. We'll see in 2 Kings chapter 6, we'll be going through verses 1 through 7. Before we do, I want to present the question tonight. Where is your axe head? Where is your axe head? Many of you guys may be familiar with the story in which we'll be about to dive into. Just a question, though, by show of hands, how many of you guys have ever heard a message on this passage before? Okay, some of you guys, I'll say less than half of you guys have ever. I'll say when I came across this passage, I can't say I've ever heard a message on this passage either as well. And just, I don't take credit for it all or anything like that, but a lot of the thoughts in which I'll be sharing tonight do come from different men, different commentaries. It doesn't all originate with me, but I pray that will be a blessing to you guys. 2 Kings chapter 6, 1 through 7, right before we start reading, like I asked you guys, where is your axe head? Where is it at? And just before we get into the passage, I want you guys to understand that we, in this passage, are the handle, and God is the axe head. As we kind of go through this passage, kind of have that view, have that mindset in your head. You know, many times as we go on through our lives, we forget where our source of power comes from. Many times it's easy to go on through ministry. We may be involved here at our church. We may be busy doing other things, whether it's reaching out to our coworkers at our own jobs, where we may be at. And many times we may see God use us in a great way. We may be able to see those trees come down. We may be able to see God use us. But many times it becomes very heavy, it becomes very wearisome, it becomes very tiring. And we forget where the power comes from. You know, many times we get so busy, we don't realize we are doing what the Lord wants us to do. We get so busy with the things of life that we get distracted. And before we know it, we're off course perhaps just a little bit, and we're not seeing the things accomplished. Just to give you guys an illustration, the landscape company I used to work for, we used to do a lot of mowing. We would go out to different clients' houses and mow their properties and whatnot. I remember this one time, it's happened several times to me before, but one time I remember in particular, I went to mow this client's house and hopped on my mower, and I started mowing the yard. Started going back and forth, making these beautiful stripes. You'd see that would go up and down the people's yards. You see a nice dark green one, a nice light green one. Finished the whole property, look at it, it looked really good. And then I looked down my mower deck. I realized I forgot to drop the mower deck. You know, many times we can do that in our own lives as well. We can go on through our lives. We can look busy. We can try to be accomplishing a lot for the Lord. You know, we may accomplish a little here and there. But until we access the power, and for example, like drop the mower deck, we're not going to see anything done. You know, we shouldn't be making a lot of noise. You shouldn't be making good-looking stripes, but it's not going to be like a cut yard. And here we're going to see an example of a man who went out on a mission. Out on a mission to cut down some trees, to build a building here. And he had the right reasons to do so. He had the right spirit all about it, but he ran into a few problems. So let's go ahead and let's look in this passage here, and let's begin reading. If you guys are there in 2 Kings chapter 6, and verse 1 says, "And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick, and cast it in thither. And the iron did swim. Therefore said he, Take it up to thee. And he put out his hand, and took it. Lord, I pray now as we dive into this passage here, Lord. Lord, you just guide my lips and my tongue, Lord, and to say what you want me to say, Lord. Lord, may I not go out into tonight, Lord, just swinging my own handle, trying to accomplish what you want me to accomplish tonight, Lord. But Lord, would I do it in your strength, Lord, and that your word would just speak to the lives who are here tonight. I pray this in your name. Amen. So here we see a passage about a man who went out for the right reason, the right way, doing the right things he was supposed to do. I mean, you can read right there in the passage. Here we see this prophet Elisha, and these people, the sons of the prophet, say unto Elisha, this place where we're meeting at, it's too straight for us. You know, it's getting too small. You know, Elisha, he's perhaps performing a lot of miracles. There's a lot of things taking place, and he's drawing together a lot of people. A lot of people are gathering together. And they say to Elisha, Elisha, this place is too straight for us. We need something bigger. And Elisha says to them, you know what? Go ahead. Go down to Jordan, cut down some trees, cut down some beams, and take every man with you there. And so they went. They went to cut down some trees, some beams, in order to get the building project underway. And here is this man. Here he wanted to do what he could. We don't know what this man's name is. It's not even given to us here. But here, one of the first things I would like to look at is this man was doing what he could. Now, we think of the example of Mary in Mark chapter 14, verse 8, anointing Jesus. And what did Jesus say about her? You know, here she is. She's the lady. She did all these great things. You know, she's gifted in so many ways. You know, she's the epitome of the Proverbs 31 woman, yada, yada, yada. No, it doesn't say that. It says she did what she could. And, you know, many of us here tonight, perhaps we aren't, you could say to yourself, you know, I'm not gifted, I'm not talented. But yet, you can do what you can for Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is asking us to do what we can do. You know, I know a pastor here tonight, he wouldn't be more delighted to hear you asking him what you can do to serve here in this church. I mean, he would be overjoyed, I'm sure, just to hear every single one of you coming up to him after service, what can I do to get involved in this church? I mean, just to get the whole entire church behind it and be able to see what we can do. And you know what? There's no task that is too small for Jesus Christ. There's nothing too minimal, nothing too insignificant. Now, I realize we have even a lot of older people here in the church as well. They said, you know what, my time's over, I can't do much. Well, do you know what? One of the greatest things that you can do, which we've been going on through this year about, is prayer. There's nothing much more stronger that you can do than going before the presence of the Lord and seeing what he can do through your life. So here we see this man. He's doing what he can. He wants to get involved. He wants to do what he can to help out. He goes to Elisha and he says, hey, I want to help out with this church project. I want to get involved in this idea. I agree with it. I want to get behind it. What can I do? And Elisha's like, I don't know. What can you do? What do you have? This man's like, well, you know, I really don't have anything with me. I can't do anything. He's like, I suppose I could borrow an axe. He's like, go ahead. Go borrow an axe. Do what you can do. And sends him out to go chop down this tree. Another thing I like to look at is this man's motive was right. Here he is, a man going to the preacher saying he thinks this is what he wants to do, and he wants to get in on it. You know, that's a blessing. A man who wants to jump into ministry. A man who wants to get on board. Let me ask you guys tonight, where are you guys at? Are you guys ready to jump in ministry, ready to get on board, whatever the Lord may have for you? You know, many times we are too afraid because we aren't gifted. You know, the Lord hasn't gifted me in this way. I can't preach. I can't lead songs, you know, I can't play any instruments. What can I do? I'm not even good at soul winning. You know, there's a phrase that went around in my college that's kind of stuck around with me, is God doesn't call the gifted, he gifts the called. And that's a really powerful statement. You know, you don't have to be gifted in order to do what the Lord has called you to do. But when you do obey his calling, the Lord will gift you in order to do what he has set you out to do. God will equip you simply if you just obey. All right, moving on in this passage here, we see that he realizes his mistake. It says in verse 3, "And one said, 'Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants.' And he answered, 'I will go.' So he went with them, and they came to Jordan. They cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell in the water, and he cried and said, 'Alas, master, for it was borrowed.'" Here's a man who realized he had a problem. You know, I find that to be actually very encouraging. He realized he lost his axe head. You know, I think it very easy for us as Christians today, in the day and age in which we live in, that it can be very easy and accustomed to get used to just swinging the axe over and over, that we don't realize we have lost the axe head. We become so busy, we become so indulged in the things of the world, that we're doing the things that the Lord perhaps wants us to do. You know, it's a good thing to be whacking at a tree, but if you don't have the axe on it, you're not making any progress. You're just making a whole lot of noise. You're just doing a lot of damage. You know, we end up just whacking the handle into the tree, making no progress, and just a lot of noise. We many times as Christians get stuck here and are busy and not getting done what the Lord wants done. What does the Lord want done then? Well, he wants the axe head to be applied to the handle, and he wants the trees to come down. He wants the trees to fall down and the building to get built. He wants you to be effective in ministry. And the only way you're going to be effective in ministry is if you're connected to the axe head. Look at there in verse 5. This man was in trouble. He realized his mistake. And what does he do? Then in verse 5, he says, "The axe head fell in the water, and he cried out." He cried out. You know, it bothered him enough that he wasn't able to accomplish what he was set out to do. He was concerned. The axe head was loaned. It was borrowed. You know, everything that we have in our lives is loaned. It's borrowed to us. You know, the arms we have, they're not ours. We're borrowing them. Your eyesight, your heart, your vision. You know, if you were to go to a doctor, let's say your eyesight's failing you, you would want to go to a doctor immediately to try to get it fixed, right? Perhaps all of a sudden you have some heart problems. What would you do? "Oh, it's fine, I'll just let it go. No, I'll just wait till, I'll just keep going down the road and see what happens." Now, you'd be desperate enough. You'd be crying out. He's like, "Hey, I can get this deal with." You'll go right immediately to the doctor. What do we do in our Christian lives? When we lose the axe head in our Christian lives, do we cry out? When we lose the presence of the Lord in our lives, we're not seeing any trees falling down. Are we desperate enough? Here's this man. It bothered him. He cried out. He couldn't go on without the axe head. This was something that was important to him. Is Jesus Christ important enough to you? Do we keep swinging the handle? Or do we get desperate enough and cry out when we don't see God in our lives and the trees aren't falling down? No, we will never be happy till we are doing what the Lord wants us to do. Now we can say, "Do you know what? I don't know exactly what the Lord wants me to do, but this is what I want to do." And we start doing something, and perhaps we won't find true happiness there. But eventually, when we get in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we're walking with him, he shows us what he wants us to do, and we jump on board. That's when we find true happiness. Now, we can force ourselves as much as we want, but till we do what we are created for, we won't find happiness. Here's a man, he's crying out. This was desperate for him. It was concerning. He couldn't go on without his axe head. Now, I think of the example of the story of Peter. There towards the end of Jesus' ministry. Here, Jesus said to his disciples, "You know, one of you guys," Jesus Christ said, "one of you guys is going to deny me 3 times. And what did the disciples say? "Oh, no, Lord, we won't deny you." And Peter says, "Lord, you know what? Even these other disciples, they might deny you, but I won't deny you." And what did Jesus Christ say? He says, "Peter, you're the one who's going to be denying me 3 times. Peter's like, no, I'm not going to deny you. And there they go. They go to the garden there. And Jesus, he goes into his interrogation and whatnot. And eventually, Peter, there he is with the other people around the fire. What's he doing? Swinging the handle. Doesn't have Jesus Christ with him. And Jesus Christ comes out, and all he does is take one look at Peter. And Peter, what does he do? He runs out, and he weeps bitterly. He realized he didn't have the axe head with him. He denied the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I think of another example. Go ahead and turn to Judges chapter 16. Judges 16, verse 20. In Judges 16, we see the story of Samson. Many of you guys may have grown up picturing Samson as perhaps a, I don't know, 7-foot giant who is tall, brawny, full of muscles. You know, I believe Samson perhaps was just an average Joe, just like you and me. Nothing too special about him. He looked absolutely normal. That's why no one could really figure out why he could do these amazing acts. All these amazing acts he was doing were miracles. And he had the Lord with him towards the beginning of his life. He was able to accomplish a lot of things for the Lord. But eventually, he thought he could handle a few things on his own. You know, we see Samson, he was able to carry the gates of the city. Imagine that, carrying the gates of the city all the way up the hill and setting them there. Eventually, he was able to slay 3,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. Amazing act. Something a human can't even do, only by the power of God. And then here, eventually, he gets caught up. He falls in love with this woman here. And she eventually keeps on trying to get him to tell him what his secret is. What's your secret? What's your power? Eventually, he keeps breaking free. Every single time she keeps trying to deceive him, he breaks free in his own strength. He snaps all the cords. Eventually, he tells her, you know, if you cut my hair, then I'll lose my power. So he goes back to sleep. He cuts her hair. I mean, she cuts his hair. And eventually, she says to him, wake up, wake up. The Philistines are upon you. And what does he do? Look there in Judges 16. I'm not there myself. But anyway, in Judges 16, immediately he wakes up and he tries to break free. If you look there in Judges 16 and verse 20, I'm not exactly there, but I believe it says something to the effect that he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. He didn't even know it. He didn't even know he lost his axe head. You know, that's a dangerous thing. This is a dangerous thing for us as Christians as well, not realizing that we have lost Lord Jesus Christ. And so easy, to, just like Samson, to go on through life, keep on swinging an axe. We get so accustomed to it. And we lose the axe head. And then we hear about Samson later on in the story, how eventually they pluck his eyes out. And there he is. He's put to a grindstone, grinding corn. Eventually, he perhaps weeps. He cries out to the Lord. He goes back to the Lord Jesus Christ and says, Lord, you know, give me strength one more time. He knocks the whole building down. He wist not that the Lord was departed from him. He lost his axe head. Let me ask you here tonight, how is your fellowship with God? Do you know that your axe head is on your handle? Or did you wist not that the Lord has departed from you? Are you just swinging the handle? Sometimes we need to pause for a minute and examine our lives. You know, 2 Corinthians 13:5 says we need to examine ourselves. Are you examining yourselves? We get so busy just doing even good things. They don't have to be bad things. We can get so involved with ministry that we can go on without the Lord Jesus Christ. But sometimes we just got to pause, step off to the side, examine ourselves. The Lord is asking us, are we swinging the handle or the axe? No, the handle is just a handle. And the axe is when the axe head is attached to it. The axe head is the part that does the work, not the handle. No, we are nothing except with the Lord attached to us. You know, you think you may be something great in this church. You may have some great leadership role. You may be able to do some great things. Hey, look what I can do, but let me tell you what. Without the axe head, without the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're nothing. You're nothing without the Lord attached to you. So here you see this man. He cries out. You can go turn back to 2 Kings chapter 6 there. See that he cries out. It bothered him enough that he recognized he had a problem. One of the hardest and dangerous things in this world is swinging the axe handle, that we get so accustomed to it, we don't realize we lost the axe head. Now, it doesn't matter how busy you look or how hard you're swinging the handle, but when you don't have the axe head with you, all you're doing is just knocking on a tree, just doing a lot of damage. A lot of damage to yourself and other people around you. And other people are going to get hurt. Do you know how the axe head comes off? Go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Here's a simple verse in which many of us, I believe, know. And it's very important. A good way to recognize whether our axe head has come off. Matthew 11, verse 28 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." You know what Jesus Christ says? If you're with me, if you have the yoke on, we're working together as a team here, the burden is not going to be heavy. It's going to be light. Do you know when the burden becomes heavy? It's when we lose the axe head. You know, the yoke is made for two animals to pull together and to balance out the burden. And many times they even take the younger oxen and put it with a stronger, bigger oxen to help train it, to help learn how to pull that yoke, to pull that plow behind it. Now we can be able to till the ground. But what happens if also one oxen starts pulling off to the side? You know, it's going to start veering off and start doing more damage. Work is not going to be able to get done. Eventually, the owner will just let it go. Starts going off on that path. You know, the burdens won't all disappear, but it says, according to the verse, the burdens will be lighter. Are you guys carrying burdens today? What does your load feel like? Do you struggle to get throughout the week? So here you see this man. He cries out. He was desperate. 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 5 says, "But as one was fell in a beam, the axe head fell in the water, and he cried out and said, 'Alas, master, for it was borrowed.'" So here, what does he do? Here he is. He's out there by the Jordan, swinging his axe. All is going well. All of a sudden, the axe head flies in the water. And what does he do? Immediately, he runs to Elisha. He runs to, you could say, pastor or whatever. He says, "Alas, master, the axe had fell off." You know, what does he do? Does he go to Elisha and says, "You know, Elisha, if you hadn't sent me in this mission in the first place, why, if you didn't tell me to borrow this axe head, why, this would never have happened. I wouldn't have lost my axe head. Why, now, what do I got to do? Now I got to go and be a servant for all these years and try to earn back this axe head, what it was worth?" Is that what this man does? No. But you know what? As Christians, it is so easy for us, even in this day and age, when something happens in our lives, it's so easy to, do you know what? It's this person's fault. It wasn't my fault. It's not my fault that I lost relationship with the Lord. It's this person over here. But no, that's not what this man does. He runs to Elisha. He runs to him and says, "You know what? I need some help. I've lost my axe head." He runs to his pastor and says, "You know what? I was out there. I was doing the work of the ministry. I was getting a building project. We're underway. We're making a lot of progress, and I lost my axe head. Can you help me? I need some help." He seeks help from the man of God. He couldn't get it back on his own. He knew he needed someone to step in. He needed to find some help. You know what? It's a good example for us as Christians today as well. To go to someone of higher authority or someone that you look up to, someone that has a close relationship with God, someone that can point you in the right direction, that can lead you back to the axe head. He goes back to the preacher who sent him out in the first place. So here he is. He goes back to Elisha. He says, "You know what? I've lost my axe head." And he says, "I lost my axe head, and for alas, it was borrowed. It wasn't even mine." And here Elisha, he says to him in verse 6, "Man of God said, where fell it?" You know, in other words, he said, "Where'd you lose it? Where'd you lose it at? Where's your axe head?" "Well, you know, any place as good as any. Well, let's just say I lost it right here. We don't have to go the whole way back. Do we have to go the whole way back to where I lost my axe head? No, I don't know. I made some progress along the way. You know, I did some good things. I was still whacking the tree a little bit with my handle. I did something. Do we have to go the whole way back to where I lost my axe head?" You know, many times it's so easy for us not to go the whole way back to where we lost our axe head. You know, here's Elisha, the pastor. He says, "Where'd you lose it?" We've got to be willing to go back. You know, many times we say to the Lord, "Well, you know what? What about all the things I accomplished along the way? What about all these things?" You know, but those things are not what the Lord was wanting originally for you to do. You know, I did some research last night, and I found out that the Earth is about 27,000 miles round. And if you were to go around the whole entire Earth, just 1 degree off course, I mean, how bad is 1 degree, right? It's hardly even anything. You can hardly even notice it just in a short distance here. But if you go 1 degree off and you come the whole way back, do you know where you end up? About 450 miles north of here. I mean, that's pretty bad. And you know what? That's all it takes. All it takes is for us to eventually just start going off the path just a little bit. It doesn't even have to be that bad. Once we start going off the path, eventually start going further and further and further away. And what does the Lord ask us to do? Go back. We need to go back to where we lost the axe head. You know, kind of like the example of me when I was mowing. Once I realized I mowed the whole yard and didn't do a single bit of progress. You know, I may have done a little bit of progress. I may have nipped off the tops of the grass right there. But what was I needing to do? I was needing to go back to where I started. I can't just go into the middle of the yard. I'm not going to retrace my steps the whole way back. I'll just go right here in the middle. You know, I'll just go right here and just start from there. No. We need to be willing to go the whole way back. Many times, we are only comfortable going only part way back. I think of the example of Jacob when the Lord asked him to go back to Bethel. You can find that in the book of Genesis, chapters 33 to 35. The Lord says to Jacob, "Jacob, I want you to go back to Bethel." And what did Jacob experience in his life? You know, Jacob here, he saw the Lord. He saw the ladder going up and down heaven. You know, he was able to see what the Lord was able to do him with Esau there. And the Lord says to Jacob, "Jacob, I want you to go back to Bethel. Go back." And what does Jacob do? Who remembers what Jacob did? He goes back part way to the land of Shechem. Goes back to Shechem and stops there. And what does he do? He pitches an altar there, builds an altar there, and whatnot, because, you know, a church is as good as any church. Altar is as good as any church. You know, it doesn't matter how far back you go. It's just a form of worship. No. You think that's fine? You think it's fine just to go part way back? Well, let's read further on what happened with Jacob. What happened to Jacob and his family there in Shechem? Only because he went part way back. What happened to his daughter? His daughter got hooked up with the wrong crowd there, and the wrong men of that town of Shechem there, and the people. She ends up getting raped. And then we see his two sons. What happens to his two sons? They become murderers. What happens to his wife? She becomes an idol worshiper. All because he didn't go the whole way back. No, the Lord is asking us, we need to go back to where we lost the axe. We need to be willing to go back. We got to go back the whole way. If we don't go back, it's costly. Just like the story of Jacob here. God said, go back. You know, he got comfortable only going part way back, and look what it cost him. We need to be willing to go back to where we left him. You know, God didn't leave us. He's not the one who left us. We're the ones who left him. You know what is so neat about this man in this passage here? He didn't just say, oh, you know, let's go right here in the Jordan River. Just this place is as good as any. No. He went the whole way back to where he lost his axe head. He went back to where he lost it. So there he is. He's before Elisha here. He says, do you want... He's desperate. He's crying out. He says, you know, I lost my axe head. I can't go on without it. Nothing can get accomplished. And here Elisha says, well, where'd you lose it? Show me where you lost it at. This man, they take him the whole way back to where he was. He says, you know, I was about right here, right by this tree over here. I was making a few wax. You can see a few cuts there in the tree. And I noticed the axe head starting a little lighter, and before you knew it, flew off. And went over here in the Jordan River somewhere. And what happens then there in verse 6? As they go down, they're down there by the Jordan River. And Elisha here, he cuts down a stick. And you may think, well, okay, what does that have to do with the story? That's kind of insignificant. Well, I thought it actually pretty surprising. I didn't think there was anything significant about it as well, so I did some studying, and what someone said about it was, you know, many times we can go on through life, just as this man here, loses your axe head. You're willing to go back to where you lost it. You go back to where you lost it at, and you quite can't see it. You can't see where the axe head went in at. There's obstacles in the way. There's something blocking. You quite can't get to the axe head. You know, in our lives, it's very, very easy for obstacles to get into our life. We can have finances, family, friends, hobbies, whatever it may be. You know, those kind of things start getting in our way and start making it kind of hard to see exactly where we lost the Lord. We know about where we lost it, but there are obstacles down. There are obstacles in a way. You know, from the time the man lost his axe head, there had been some obstructions that had gotten up between him and it. You know, many obstacles come into our life. And what does Elisha do? He goes to this man here, he goes to the man of God. He goes to Elisha. You say he goes to his pastor. He says, you want, I lost my axe head. This is about where I lost it. What do I need to do? And Elisha here, he says, you want, I said, we need to cut down those obstacles. He takes his knife out, he takes out his sword, whatever it is. Cuts down that stick. Makes a clear path, and that way you can be able to see where the axe is. And what does he do with that stick? He casts into the Jordan River. So do you know what? We don't need these obstacles. Let's throw those obstacles into the Jordan. You know, Pastor, or you could say Elisha, they can point out obstacles in your life. They can point out things in your life that may have God in between you and the Lord. But then it comes down to you to pick up that axe head then. You know, pastor can't pick up the axe head for you. I'm kind of skipping ahead of myself here already, but pastor, he can't pick up the axe head for you. He can't put you back in that relationship with Jesus Christ. Elisha, he couldn't pick up this axe head, as we'll see here shortly. But here, Elisha, he takes that stick, he throws it into the Jordan River, he says, we don't need this anymore. Got rid of the obstacle. And what happens to the axe head there? What happens to it? That's what I always thought, right? That's not what the Bible says. I mean, sure, it floats on top of the water. But what does the Bible say? It swims. You know, I always thought, you know, the axe head here, bloop, floats on the water. And there it is, just floating right there. But no, it swims. And it'd be kind of funny trying to imagine an axe head swimming kind of like a fish right back to it. Probably had a little motor on the back going right back to the shore right where he lost it. And here, I think it's a great picture of Jesus Christ. You know, as we start to realize when we lose our axe head, and we get rid of those obstacles in our life, we get rid of those distractions, and we start to make progress towards the Lord Jesus Christ to try to get him back. I think this is an absolute perfect picture of Jesus Christ moving towards us. You know, we may have lost him. We may not be able to see where he is, but as we make steps towards him, what happens? The Lord moves towards us. You know, I think a perfect example of this is the prodigal son. You guys all know the story about the prodigal son. He makes a few bad decisions. He runs from home. He wants to have his own inheritance, enjoy his own life. He enjoys his own life, his partying, has a lot of friends. He gets a lot of obstructions in the way, gets a lot of obstacles in the way. He loses his money. Eventually he goes and he's working for a pig farmer. Eventually he realizes he needs to go back home. Why does he need to go back home? Based off this passage we're going off tonight, why does he need to go back home? Because that's where he lost his axe head. That's where he lost it. He needs to go the whole way back. So there he is. He realizes he's there in the pig pen. He went, I need to go back. I need to go back. So there he is. He's on his road going the whole way back. And just talking about how the iron did swim back to the bank. Here is this father. Just imagine this father, the prodigal son's father. There he is, probably in his second story there, looking out the window. And perhaps he sees his son afar off. And what does the prodigal father do? The prodigal father's like, oh, I think that's my son out there. Why? He's brought a lot of shame to this family. Why? I hear he's hanging out with the wrong crowd. He's got a lot of obstructions in the way. He's got a lot of distractions. Why, he's a pig farmer now. Let's see if he can make it the whole way back. Let's see if he can make it the whole way back to this house. He needs to come to my feet. He needs to make it back here. Is that what he does? No. The moment he sees his prodigal son working his way back home, what does the prodigal father do? I can imagine, here he is, runs down the flight of stairs, throws open the screen door, right into his son, right into his arms. And there's the prodigal son. I'm sure he probably had his 3 points in his poem working together. He says, Father, I've sinned against thee in heaven, yada, yada. As far as he went, quiet. You know what? I have a ring for you. I have a robe. I have a fatted calf waiting this whole entire time for you. Been waiting for you to come back home. He ran to him. And that's the exact perfect picture of Jesus Christ running back to us. Where's your axe head? Is it in the Jordan River? You know, James 4:8 says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. You know, God never makes it hard for us to draw nigh to him. Sure, there may be obstructions in the way. That is when we need to perhaps get some help in our lives. Start seeking counsel. Start even getting pastor involved or other people we look up to, saying, hey, I'm trying to get back to my axe head. Can you help me out? I'm trying to get back into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Perhaps we can get rid of those obstacles. We can throw those obstacles into the Jordan River. And the Lord can then start working his way back towards us, just as a prodigal father. So here we see the axe head, it swims. And cast the stick in thither, and the iron did swim. Verse 7, therefore said he, this is Elisha speaking, take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. This is where I was kind of skipping ahead to, but here's this man. He had to pick it up. You know, Elisha didn't pick it up for him. It wasn't pastor, it wasn't some other man of God. He says to the man, pick it up. What does this man have to do? And it's kind of a perfect picture. Here's this man. He's standing by the bank here. He sees Olsen, the head, swim right to the shore. And they're probably just in shock right now. They're like, well, what just happened? They've never seen that before. And he says, Elisha says to this man, pick it up. And what requires for this man to pick it up? He has to what? Get down, right? I can't imagine how low he had to get. I don't know if there's a bank there or whatever, but it required humility. You know, it requires humility in our lives in order to admit where we've gone, admit our wrongdoings, and pick up the axe head. You know, a pastor, he can preach. He can point it out to you. He can tell you what you need to get right in your life. He can tell you where your axe head's at. But it's you. It comes down to a personal step. Are you going to pick it up? Picking up the axe head requires us to get low. It requires us to be humble. Without the axe head in our lives, we can't do anything. Nothing at all. We are nothing but a handle. A tool used for Jesus Christ. Without him attached, we're worthless. You know, I can imagine then, after he picked up the axe handle, Elisha told him, all right, there you go, you got your axe handle back, go ahead, get back to work. Get back in the ministry. Get back to what the Lord wants you to do. You know, start falling down these trees again. Start getting beams ready. Start building the house of the Lord. I can imagine the man there, he perhaps grabbed his axe handle, and he puts the axe head back on. He's probably thinking, what? I'm not going to lose this again. He realized he couldn't go without it. He says, you know what? I realize it's getting loose in our time. You know what? When I realize it's getting loose, I'm going to stop and make sure to tighten it back on. You know what? Perhaps he even went and put a few wedges into the axe head to make sure it won't come out. Let me ask you guys this here tonight. What kind of wedges do you have in your life? What kind of things are you putting in your life to make sure that you're not going to lose the Lord Jesus? I'm not talking about salvation here. I'm not saying you're going to lose your salvation, but what are you going to do that make sure, you know what? I'm going to get rid of these distractions. I'm putting these wedges. I'm going to be in the Word of God, memorize His Word. Be in fellowship with Him. Can't afford to lose the axe head. In what ways are we separating from the world? So, it's kind of like why I started this evening, asking you guys, where is your axe head? Where is it? Are you seeing a lot of trees falling down for Lord Jesus Christ? Are you seeing a lot of forward progress with the unsaved, your coworkers? Are you plugged into the ministry, just as this man, as desperately as he's wanted to be? Where are you guys at? Or are you guys just handles, just talking about trees and seeing nothing done? Just talking about trees. Where's your axe at? If I could have every eye bowed, every eye closed,